Okay, so welcome everybody to the, I guess, isn't this the last oral session for our group, the post-service, right? So my name is John Ballyoon. I'm giving the first talk, and I better put my timer on or I'll run over as usual. I had the fortune of working with a gentleman from Iran who tried to come and be a postdoc and all kinds of stuff in my lab for about almost 3-4 years to the point where I almost became a PhD mentor to him. And so I'm going to present some work that he couldn't travel and present on a very small but unknown melon, a Doudane, a Cucumis melo melon. And this is related, very similar to a lot of work that I did in the past on melon. So it was kind of a good blend. Come on, arrow down. There we go. So this is one melon in a very large group of melon, the Cucumis melo, and that is ranked third in worldwide production in Iran. Worldwide, there's about 25 million tons as of 2012, with China absolutely overwhelming the market, followed by Turkey and then Iran. But when you see those stats, that involves all melons, so don't get deluded to the fact thinking that this little melon that we're going to show you today is one of the big stats. This melon, though, goes back in the literature, and it's been very well characterized back into the 1800s when you saw a lot of the nomenclature and the work done, and that name has really stuck with it, Doudane, for all these years. It's also known as the Queen Anne's pocket melon. It's been traditionally cultivated in Iran back to the 9th century in Persia. I'll probably massacre the name. Dastanboya is a Persian word, which literally is a compound word meaning hand perfume. And I'll discuss that in a second more. So this is just a representation of what two of the melons look like. They're very unique looking, and they get these ochre stripes and mottling pattern of different colors upon ripening. And so it's been grown for its ornamental beauty, as well as its fragrance. It's very similar in the sense to some of the musk melons that it does have a fragrance, but it doesn't have hardly any taste. Some of them are considered inedible, and some of them are considered insipid or barely edible. So it's been reported to have medicinal properties, etc., but for the life of me, I can't find out in the literature what those are. All the papers just keep saying medicinal properties, but they don't tell us what. Moshe Hatami has previously described what he thought were the apparent ripening indices based predominantly on color change, and they measured also, it was more of a field representation measuring length, width, height, you know, tendril status, etc., to say when they think these are ripe. However, due to inbreeding in Cucumis over the centuries, there's high variability within Doudane, and the actual post-harvest attributes, especially regarding whether or not it's climacteric or whatnot, are still a little bit unknown. So it's already well known that in most commercial melons that you would want to eat, the sweeter ones, and that's where most of the literature is focused for decades, that maturity really correlates well with volatiles, texture, especially in orange flesh, green flesh melons. There's been work that even came out of my lab with increasing maturity is increasing volatiles, increasing organoleptic acceptability, increasing sensory acceptability, etc. But to the best of our knowledge, but I found one paper since we submitted this one, there are no publications elucidating the climacteric ethylene production in Doudane fruit. So the goal of this work was to look at storability after harvest at different maturities and storage at different temperatures to see how this melon actually behaves. So what was done was two cultivars, Zanjib Abadad and Kermanash, were direct seeded in a randomized complete block in the research stations at the University of Tehran in Iran. The spacing was a meter between rows and a half a meter between plants. They were drip tape irrigated every 3 days, which was absolutely critical and essential because the average diurnal temperature was almost 28 degrees C, and actually the daytime temperature average at the peak was more like 35. So it gets very hot there, very arid, as you can see from these pictures. These are just pictures of the field, representations of the field store, field harvest bins and the fruit coming out of the field. You'll see a little bit more representation of how the fruit looked in the field, etc., as we move along. So what happened was female flowers were tagged at the day of anthesis. Fruit were harvested at two stages, either 21 or 28 days post-anthesis, which is going to be called DAA throughout. The stages were predetermined from that other work that I previously mentioned, and the basic rind color is usually more or less green at 21 DAA. It becomes orange mottled, or what they thought was fully ripe around 28 DAA when it gets lighter yellow. And if it's left in the field, it's usually by 35 DAA, that maroon brown or mottled color with the orange, the one that's very ornamental looking and beautiful. So this is a representation across the top row of the day of anthesis, different flowers being tagged. And then again, if you start in the middle over on the left, you start at anthesis, and then about every 4 days, 4, 8, 12, 17, 21, 25. And you see a nice progression in the size, the color formation, etc., of the fruit in the field. So the fruit were harvested and stored at 5 and 13 for 3 weeks to assess changes in a whole slew of post-harvest attributes from ethylene, chilling, color, firmness, total soluble solids, titratable acidity, pH, weight, protein content, and then monosaccharides and disaccharides by UPLC. Measurements were made every 7 days post-harvest, and the total experiment was repeated 3 times. So this, again, is just giving you a nice representation of the actual fruit harvested in the field at 21 DAA, the early harvest, and versus the more advanced 1 week later, 28 DAA. Again, this is the field bins, and you can obviously see a massive color change within the 7 days. And so that is reflected here in the color. I didn't title this because it's a little too busy, but I just showed you with the arrow that those fruits, I'll back up. In all the graphs given today, the lighter lines are the 21 DAA. So just look at light lines versus dark lines because they get a little busy. And then the fruit stored at what we have deemed to be the more appropriate temperature, 13 degrees C, are the squares. So look at the squares also. So you can see a general LAB color increase, especially on the fruit which were harvested less mature, and that's, you know, expected. There are no stats presented on the graphs because if you really wanted them, when it is published, there will be a supplementary table with all the statistics because it was a full ANOVA done on the results. But can anyone read that? Oh, congratulations. So what they did also is to look at the difference in the monosaccharides, glucose and fructose, at the storage temperatures. And you can see generally either not much change or a very marked decrease, especially in one of the cultivars, the Zangiabid, in the beginning of storage, and then they kind of plateau. So that is generally mirrored there after by the conversion over to disaccharides and the accumulation of disaccharides, which is very typically seen in a regular, like the dessert melon or the cantaloupe and honeydew. So usually the most predominant sugar will be sucrose. So the cultivar on the left responded very decently, and it's a little odd how the sugar seems to have gone up a little and plateaued and came down in the Kermanache, but we'll get to that in a minute as well. One thing that is became painfully obvious, and let me make sure I'm not over here, was that chilling indeed at both in both cultivars at the lower temperature was a problem. And so this is 2 days after the storage period where they're held at room temperature, the exhibition of zero was no chilling, one mild, two moderate, three severe. So obviously the storing temperature at five is not a good idea, but that's already been known for many melons. but they're trying to extend and see the window and whether or not it was chilling sensitive as well. So the protein content, not a lot of change, a little bit of a decrease. There is a little bit of a turnover, more so in the fruit also that are more mature. So ethylene changes. Now, I'm like positive the unit is wrong on this. They had some problems with some other units when they were doing the work, and we caught a lot of them. This one, I think, slipped the radar. The units are wrong on this one. But it kind of looks like the Kerminage has gone into the beginning of its climacteric. And obviously both graphs, both cultivars, if you look at the circle, the low temperature storage affected the ability of ethylene to generate. So that would be a very typical symptom of chilling and the lack of ethylene production. So overall, the color changes observed parallels pattern seen in most other climacteric fruit that have color change for the cucumis. The 28 DAA in both cultivars held at 5C had obviously, you know, chilled sensitivity and injury symptoms. I forgot to put the picture of the fruit that was chilled. It would have been good to show you. I'm sorry, I forgot, but we have one. The protein levels and or increase in the more mature fruit at 28 DAA, especially for the Kerminage, likewise reflect alterations that normally occur as a climacteric peak begins. And then the protein decrease almost continually through storage indicate the immaturity of the chilling. So after 3 weeks at 13, the earlier harvested fruit had relatively similar color, which again indicated that they didn't fulfill their ripening because they were chill injured. The glucose and fructose tended to decrease, which is seen in most and many melons and sucrose, and oddly enough, even maltose, and that's kind of strange why that disaccharide increased during storage, but predominantly and especially in the 28-day after anthesis fruit. And so the storage at 5 degrees seems obviously to not be a good deal because it's associated with the chilling. So many of the things that were seen in just these two cultivars do indeed indicate that they're now, I mean, I have to be careful because I quite personally think there's a little bit of a conflict of the chilling versus the days after anthesis. The fruit might look beautifully ripe 35 DAA in the field, but I have a feeling that 35 DAA should have been another experimental data point, and that maybe a warmer temperature should have been another storage at 20C. So this would be, in my opinion, a nice preliminary look at two of these varieties to assess their differences in post-harvest storage and abilities to demonstrate whether they are indeed truly a climacteric or not. It's because there seems to be a little bit of confounding data that even I presented here. But overall, though, indeed, the chilling is a significant problem. And it does appear from the preliminary data here that some fruit can be harvested at optimum maturity stage. And that seems to be 28 DAA, or it could even be in the cultivar Agabadad. It might even be 35 DAA, because that one didn't even seem like it was really kicking into its climacteric yet. So that is all I have. How did I do? I'll make sure I didn't go over. See if this guy has time for questions. Oh, he left a minute for questions. Any questions? It's actually kind of an ornamental melon, and they use it just to give off fragrance. It's very musky, apparently, even though it's a very insipid or almost a flavorless, low sugar. If you could eat it, but it might be a little bit like a, you know. And medicinal properties. But I've scoured the literature, and everyone just says medicinal properties, medicinal properties. And I'm like, well, yeah, what? So, this. That would be good. And then you won't have a research project that gets canceled because it has too much sugars and attributing to obesity in America. All right. I think we better move on.